You got porn in your pocket, meaning anywhere, anytime, all day long.
And Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes.
What do you have to do? What lengths do you have to go to? Whatever it is, get it out of your life. Stop it.
You fight it as though your very life were threatened, which it is.
But it's not about fighting by yourself. It's about fighting with brothers who are right there with you. And I am one of them. We are in this together because this is Fight Club.
Let's talk about accountability. This is one of the things that in my battle, I have known that I've needed the most, but in reality, it's also the thing that I've wrestled with probably the most. It's you love it when you're doing well and you hate it when you're doing poorly. And that seems like the exact definition of something that you really should have in your battle for purity. I can tell you hundreds of examples of times where I wanted to fail. I could see the writing on the wall, the trajectory that I was going on, and where I knew I wanted to be by the end of the day, which was in failure. You know, just when I've hardened my heart towards doing the right things, I've decided that I'm not making good decisions today. You know, all the wrong things. But then there'll be this little nagging. It'll be like, oh, but you got to check in tonight. Oh, well, you could probably text your accountability partner right now. And every time it just comes with this like, come on, man, maybe I should just stop doing accountability. Maybe that's just dumb. Maybe this is a waste of my time. You know, how can I get out of this? And I try and start thinking about ways to not have to be accountable for my actions to other people, to myself, to God. And that's a bad thing. And that is proof to me that accountability is one of the most important things that I can have in my battle. And it's one of the most important things that you can have. Now, it's not the most important. Some people will say that, you know, you can solve this problem all by just being super hyper accountable. Yes, it's good to be accountable. It is incredibly helpful. And it's a big piece of victory, but it is not the thing that solves your problem. It is not the thing that's going to deliver you victory. No, only Jesus can do that. So don't get it twisted. Don't think that doing this right and doing this every single day and following all the steps that we're going to talk about today is going to solve your problem for you. It is not. This is just one piece in the puzzle. This is one little additional thing that you can do, that you should do, that you need to do in order to have victory, but it's not the thing that directly leads to it, if that makes sense. That's my little disclaimer to throw up at the beginning, because I used to think that this was the one thing I was doing wrong. I used to think that if I could just figure out accountability, if I could just be super, super good at accountability, then I would never struggle again. And you know what? So many times I would be doing incredibly well with accountability, doing everything right, being excessively accountable in some instances. And guess what? I was still living in sin. I was still failing consistently. It didn't solve my problem, but it is still incredibly important. And one of the things I want to start with is this quote. It's a cheesy one. I apologize, but it's a good one. You've probably heard it before. It's, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's cheesy. Yeah, I know. You hear that in a lot of stupid ways. You see that on like Facebook, on some grandmother's like meme where it's like a photo of a beach and it'll say that. It's like footsteps on the sand. Like, yeah, I know. It's cheesy, but it's there's an important message there. I know for me, the times when I'm bouncing back from failure, when I'm like, all right, how do I get back on the right path? I want to move fast. Like, that's literally all I care about. I'm like, no. How do I get back to a place of victory? How do I get back to a place of like where I can look myself in the mirror again? You know what I mean? Like, how do I get out of all these feelings? You want to go as fast as humanly possible. You know, you're like amped. You're ready to go. You can run through a brick wall. Like, it's that sort of situation. And you want to go fast. And that tempts you then to be like, I can't do it with anyone else because they're not as amped up as I am. They're not as committed as I am. I'm on this whole other level than everyone else. And so it convinces you that you need to do it alone. It convinces you that only you can solve this problem for you. And this is a journey that only you can go on. You know, it's one of the biggest lies that I see in pop culture today, in Christian culture today, in purity culture today, is go disappear for 6 months and come back unrecognizable. You know, you see this in like, go, you know, get into the gym and do all these other things, go start a business, go overcome your lust, go do all these things that you know that you should do and things that would lead to a better life, quote unquote, but you need to disappear to do that. You have to just get off the grid and then come back and just shock everyone with that. And there's a real temptation in this battle. And I've felt this many times to just do that. I've been like, you know what? That is what I need to do. I need to just go disappear for 6 months, totally change who I am and come back and just be a totally new person. But that's a lie. That's not true. I mean, the idea of wanting to be a new person, that is what you should be doing. But the only way that happens is through Jesus. The only way that actually comes about in your life is by surrendering everything to Jesus and saying, you know what, Jesus, I can't do this alone. I cannot do this by myself. This isn't something that I'm capable of disappearing by myself for 6 months and just like fixing all of my problems. That's not going to happen. It is only through you, Jesus. It is only through surrendering everything that I am to you and saying, God, I'm done with this old way. Please renew me. It's not something that you can do for yourself. So I just wanted to start with that because I like that quote, because the only way then logically to move forward from that, once you realize you can't do it alone, is to realize you have to do it together. And you do that with God, of course, but God gave us other people for a reason. God gave us community for a reason. God gave us other brothers for a reason. God gave other people this same sin struggle so that we can be together in this. We can link arms and march into battle together. This isn't something you're going at alone. This isn't something that only you struggle with. No. Millions, billions of young men in this world are also struggling with this. I'm one of them, you're one of them, and there are millions and billions more. You're not alone, and you shouldn't ever approach this alone. This isn't something that, you know, I talk about it at one point, how this is the new rite of passage. Oftentimes in cultures, a rite of passage was something that you had to go do yourself. No, you figured out yourself. That's not what this is. No, the only way that you can truly get through this is to be humble enough to realize you can't do it alone. You can't do it without God, and you can't do it without other strong believers, without other people encouraging you and fighting right alongside with you. So accountability is incredibly important. And we're going to talk through 3 points today. And it's all centered around accountability and how to do it right. You know, what it is, why we do it. And it's, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here because I'm just so excited to get into what accountability is, because I'm in a good place right now, and I know accountability is incredibly important, but I need to express this partially because I need something to be able to look at when I'm starting to teeter, when I'm starting to think I don't need accountability anymore. No, this is incredibly important. This is one of the most important things that you can do in setting yourself up for success. So let's dive into it really quick. First up, the first thing I want to talk about is, what is accountability practically? I want to quote A Purpose-Driven Life here. This is Rick Warren. Great devotional if you've never gone through it. But this is what he says. He says, fellowship is experiencing life together. It includes unselfish, loving, honest, sharing, practical, serving, sacrificial, giving, sympathetic, comforting, and all the other one another commands found in the New Testament. I love that. That is what we're talking about here. When we talk about accountability, it's not just like, you know, confessing all your sins to someone. No, this is going through the battle with another person. This is, the guys that I have accountability with are guys that I am in intimate relationship with, are guys that are my brothers. You know what I mean? That is what we're talking about. We're not talking about just like you send a text once a night saying, hey, I didn't fail today. That's not what this is. No, you are going through this battle together. This is something that you are unselfish with. You sacrifice your time for other people. This is something that you're loving with. You're actually spending time in prayer and genuinely thinking about, how can I help this guy right now? This is something where you're thinking about honesty, where I'm not going to hide anything from this person. This is an intimate relationship that we're talking about. Accountability is not something that is like thrown around and you can do with just anyone. No, this is something that you are, when you commit to accountability, you're committing to complete honesty, a complete perfect view of what your internal life is like, of what your struggles are, of what your fears are, of what your insecurities are, of what your problems are. This is laying it all on the table for someone else to look at. It's an incredibly daunting task. It's an incredibly daunting idea, but it's incredibly important to understand the full scope of what accountability is. And it's all those things, all those one another commands that we do with each other. But past that, like I already said, it's about battling with someone else. The guys that I do accountability with, I love them to death. They're my brothers. But I think about, there's this idea in war. I don't even know what the phrase I'm looking for is. But in ancient warfare, in Roman and in Greek warfare, there was this idea called a paraclete. And what it was is, it's when two guys, right, when they're fighting with their swords out and their shields, and the battle gets tough and everything gets chaos, like it's everything's just chaotic and people are coming at you from all directions, and it's terrifying, right? Because you're just like 360 degrees, you have to be ready from every angle. And so what they would do is they would use this position called paraclete, where it would all of a sudden you'd realize that chaos is happening around you, and you would back up until you found one of your fellow soldiers, one of the guys who's on your side, one of your brothers in arms, and you would push your back up against theirs, and you would hold your shield out, and you got this 180 degrees, and they got that 180 degrees. And it was like a almost undefeatable position, because it's a maximizing what a human being can do in warfare, right? Because you can only deal with about 180 degrees before you get overwhelmed. And same for the other person. And so that is what accountability is. It's fighting together. This is battling side by side in the trenches together. It's not one of you saying, hey man, you keep going, you're doing great, all that stuff. You know, you can fight this, you can have victory. No, it's like, I'm in the battle with you. We're fighting this together. Now, I've been incredibly bad at this recently. My new life, my new job, everything has pulled me away from the things that I've done before. And I've forgotten about how important it is for me to be battling with my brothers. I've forgotten that I'm not here to just say, hey, keep fighting, man. You're going to get over this eventually. No, it's my job as that person's accountability partner, as that person's brother in arms, to get in the battle with them. They're not fighting alone. I need to sacrifice my time, sacrifice the things that I want to do, sacrifice my own energy and my own focus and my own battle in some cases in order to help my brother fight. That is what accountability is. And there's this idea, I believe it's in Celtic history, Celtic, I don't know, something like that. Something from way back in the day. I said I'm a history buff and here I am mispronouncing all sorts of things. Whatever. Give me a break. But the idea is it's the word for it is anam cara. And what this is, it directly translates to soul friend. And this is something, you know, like you can also derive soulmate from this. And so a lot of people will say, you know, oh, this is like, you know, your wife is supposed to be that for you. Yeah, sure. Okay. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about your wife right now. We're talking about your brother in arms. And what you need is an anam cara. What you need is someone that is fully aware of who you are. Someone who knows you 100%, the true you. This is what I've really struggled with the most when it comes to accountability, because I like to hide who I truly am. I like to have a mask. I like to be a little bit mysterious. I like to not put everything on the table so that I can control the narrative of what people think about me. I think that that is a wise way to live, but it's not. The Bible doesn't tell us to live like that, and history doesn't tell us to live like that. What we need to do is to have someone, probably multiple people. I would encourage you to have multiple people. That's been my goal always, is to have multiple people that are my anam cara, that are my soul friend, that understand who I am completely, that have a 100% clear and perfect picture of who I am, of what I'm going through, of what I want out of my life, what I've done in my past life, and what my battle is, and what my struggle with lust is, who understands every last detail of it. Everyone needs someone like this. In a battle for purity, this is one of the most important aspects. Not that you just have accountability, but that you have someone who fully understands your battle. Someone who has an intimate understanding of what you're going through, of what you want to be in the future, and of what you've done in the past. And that's the hard one. That's the one that people get caught up on. Because accountability isn't just a starting from today on. It's not like, I'll tell you everything that went wrong from today forward. But everything that happened before today, no. We're not talking about that. You don't need to know any of that. Yes, they do. It is so hard to pray for another brother. It is so hard to get into the battle with another brother if you don't understand the full context, right? This is like if in World War II, you know, people start fighting and then there's this tribe off on North Sentinel Island off of the coast of India who has no idea what's gone on the last 100 years, who has no idea about World War I or about any of the other context, has no idea about the dynamics between countries or the natural reserves and all these things that led to this war. It doesn't have any idea about ideals or fascism or democracy or socialism, doesn't have any idea about any of that, and then just gets thrown in and it's just like, no, pick a side and go fight. How can they fight well for that? How are they able to be productive and helpful in that battle if they don't have a context for what happened before? If they don't have a context for what's truly at the core of the battle? And I'm saying these things, and as I'm saying them, I'm realizing that I probably need to go and talk to some of my accountability brothers about my past, about some certain, I mean, I've been vulnerable about a ton of stuff in my past, but there are a couple things that I have not been 100% vulnerable about. And that's a problem. I know it's a problem because there have been times where I've confessed a failure to them and their advice to me or what they've said to me has not been helpful because they didn't understand where all this was coming from because I didn't tell them. I did not allow them into my battle. So this goes both ways. Not only do you need to be in the battle with your brother, right? Fighting with them on what they're struggling with, but you need to allow them into your battle. That's what accountability is. It's allowing someone else into your battle and understanding all of it, all the context, all the history, all the ideas about the future, everything that you've tried in the past, and just what you're struggling with right now. It is 100% honesty, like I said. So that's what accountability is. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're striving towards. But I understand if you might think, oh, I don't need that. You know, maybe this is all blown out of proportion. You know, accountability is not going to solve my problem. You said it. So why would I need to do this? Let's talk about that real quick. I got four verses for you. We'll do the fourth one later. But the three that I'm going to talk about right now, each cover a reason why accountability is important. So let's dive into it. I don't think there's any better way than to have the Bible explain it. So Hebrews 3:13 says this: you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. What's the first reason why we need it? So we don't believe lies. That last part of the verse there, it says, so none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Look, so much of this battle comes down to us believing lies. When you are in the thick of your temptation, when you are on the verge of falling into sin, what's going on? What on a fundamental level is happening? You are believing lies. I can't tell you how many times I've laid in bed and I'm just circling through hundreds of justifications for my actions, hundreds of reasons why it's okay for me to fall into the sin right now, hundreds of reasons why I'm a victim of my circumstances, hundreds of reasons of why I deserve this, hundreds of reasons of why lust is acceptable. All of them are lies. All of them are deceiving me and hardening my heart against God. Look, we need other people in our lives to be able to call out the lies. It's really hard in the thick of the battle to be able to pull yourself into the third person, right? Your heart rate is pounding. Your heart's pounding through your chest. You're all amped up. The temptation is just growing and growing and growing. The lust is eating at your mind. It's hard for you to think straight. So you need someone else who's not in the thick of the battle right now, who can look at it from an objective third person perspective and say, bro, you are believing a lie there. And this is the lie that you're believing. I know you intimately enough to say you're believing this lie, and here's what you need to do about it. That is what is so important about accountability, is having someone who can give you an honest take, an honest perspective, and point out to you the things that you are believing that are lies. That's the first one. The second one is this, Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Look, at the end of the day, having an accountability brother is about helping each other. It's about when another brother stumbles, it's about lifting them out of the mud. We have a moral and spiritual obligation to God and to our brothers in arms to help them out of the mud. When one of my accountability partners sends a text to me and confesses their sin, it is my obligation to help that brother up, because I've been there too. It's not saying like, oh, here, I know you can't help yourself up, so I'm going to get you up. It's saying, bro, I've been there. Here's what I've done in the past, and I'm going to get into the mud with you, and I'm going to help you get up out. We need to help each other. The Bible is clear about it. Life isn't something that we just go through by ourselves. No, it's something that we go through with each other. And Galatians 6:1 is so clear that we need to help each other. When we fall, accountability is what helps us not stay in the rut. Look, we talk about, the literature is so clear on what happens when we fail. We get into this binge and purge cycle, right? We do so well, we're purging all of the sin, we're doing everything we can to stay away, and then the temptation gets too much and we fall into it. And when we fall into it, it's never once, it's never twice, it's several times in a row. It's a binge. We're binging in our sin. And to get out of a binge is incredibly difficult, and it's almost impossible to do by yourself. And Galatians 6:1 is clear. One of the reasons accountability is so important is so that you have a brother who can reach down and say, bro, I got you. I'm here with you, and I'm going to help you get out of this binge. I'm going to help you get out of this rut. I'm going to help you get out of the trenches right now and get back on your feet so that we can fight together again. That's the second one. The third one is this, Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Look, this is the idea of the paraclete that we were just talking about, right? Fighting back to back. We're in the mud together, and we're taking care of our side of our field of view, and we're just confident that our brother behind us is doing the same for his field of view. It's fighting in the mud together. It's doing it as a team. And then it says three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Look, when we fight together, it's not one plus one equals two, right? It's not one fight against temptation plus another fight against temptation equals two fights against temptation. No, the real math behind accountability and having a brother in the fight with you is one fight against temptation plus one fight against temptation equals five fights against temptation, or seven, or 10, or 100. It is exponential. The impact that it has, having another brother in there with you, is not just a simple, oh, I'm just adding another person that helps me fight. No, it is by magnitudes. It is by hundreds or thousands. It helps you so much. I can't tell you how many times I've been on the verge of failure, and I have reached out to not one, not two, not three, but four or five accountability partners and said, bro, I'm struggling right now. I need help. I need you in this battle with me. And when they jumped in and they were like, bro, I got you. I'm here for you. What do we need to do? Once that happened, it was like the temptation was totally gone, because I had a force behind me now. It wasn't just my own strength, my own power. It felt like an army that was with me fighting against this. And so why do we need accountability? It's so we can conquer. It's so that we can have victory. It's what opens us up to a multitude of force magnifying. That didn't make any sense. That was a whole bunch of words. It didn't make any sense. Basically what I'm saying is, fighting by yourself makes it really easy to lose. As it says in that verse, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But fighting with a brother, fighting with two brothers or three brothers, as many brothers as you can find, as many brothers as you are confident you can fight with, well, that makes it infinitely easier. So why do we need accountability? So we don't believe the lies. So we can help each other when we fall and even before we fall. And so we can conquer. But let's get practical. How do we do it right? How do we actually practically, realistically, in day-to-day life, practice accountability? Well, the first thing is you need to go out and you need to find a brother. You need to find one, two, three, four, as many as you can find, guys that you can trust, that you can confess to, that you can be 100% you with, totally open, confess everything to. Find those guys. You may think that you don't have them. I believed that lie before too. I told my parents to their face when they said, hey man, you need accountability partner. My dad never struggled with this. And he said, bro, I can't help you like someone who actually knows what it's like to fight this can help you. You need to go find someone and be vulnerable enough to go in and confess to that person and use them as an accountability partner. And I would always say, no, I don't have anyone in my life. There's no one that I know who deals with this. There's no one that I know that I can trust enough to do that with. And then he would give me three or four examples of dudes that I could go and talk with this about right now. And I would come up with an excuse and say, Dad, come on. You're talking crazy. I'm not going to do that, because what are they going to think about me? Because no, I have all these other things in my life. No, the time zones don't match up. Any excuse that I could find, I used. Trust me, I've been through them all. And I know that they're all lies. First of all, there are guys out there that you can trust. There are guys out there that go through this and that are in your life right now that are already brothers in one sense or another that you maybe have not talked about this to yet, but I guarantee you they struggle with it too. Almost every young man struggles with this. So go and find someone. Find one, two, three, four guys and bring them together and say, hey, we're in this together. Let's fight together. Be the catalyst for success and victory and in freedom in your friend group. Be the catalyst for success for all the dudes that you know, that you trust, that are fellow believers that are going through this together. Be the catalyst. Be the guy that sparks a chain of unbelievable victory, a chain of young men following Jesus fully. How incredible would that be if you were the spark of that? And if you just help two or three guys, and those guys help two or three guys, and those guys help two or three guys, well, soon enough, the whole world can be back following Jesus. That might be a little dramatic, and I don't want to blow things out of proportion, but be that catalyst, man. Find that person. Find that dude that you can be a brother with, and start with full vulnerability. And that brings me to my next point. Practically, what is accountability? We already talked about it. It is 100% honesty, right? It's in the court of law. They say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That's where we need to be. We need to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. No lies, no holding anything back, no redacting any details because, oh, you don't need to know any of that. No. Everything is on the table. You need to find a dude that you can be that way with. Find a couple guys. And you know what? You can be that way with a lot of people. Someone may be like, oh, no, I don't trust that person like that. Well, okay, why? Is that for a real reason? Is that because they're going to go and share it on social media that you struggle with this? Okay, yeah, probably don't share it with that person. But if it's someone that you're like, oh, maybe I just haven't talked about deep things with this person before. I don't know if I can trust them. If they're a believer, if they love Jesus, that should be enough to say, you know what? I'm going to be vulnerable because the Bible calls me to be vulnerable. Go and find those dudes. Spark that. Because if you are vulnerable, chances are they're going to be vulnerable back. And all of a sudden, you have your Anamkara or whatever it was called. Yeah, Anamkara. All of a sudden, you've got that guy. You have that soul friend, that dude that you can be 100% honest with. Find as many of those as you can. Help other people out of the mud. And it will help you as well. But one of the first rules for all of this, and one of the first considerations to take when you come and you confess and you be fully vulnerable with someone, is you need to understand the first rule of Fight Club. I don't know if you've seen that movie. I do not recommend seeing that movie at this point. But if you have in the past, everyone knows what the first rule of Fight Club is, right? You don't talk about Fight Club. That is the foundation of being able to be vulnerable. You have to know that what I tell you, you aren't going to go share with anyone else. You're not just going to go spewing this to other people. You're not going to violate my trust. Now, that goes both ways, right? You need to trust that that person isn't going to talk about Fight Club, and then you aren't going to talk about Fight Club either. All of this stays within the circle of dudes that are fighting together. Now, if there's other guys that you can want to bring into the fight, yeah, okay, you can bring them in, but you have no right to share the other person's vulnerabilities. No, you can share your own, and then you bring them in, and if that person wants to share them with this person too, then that's their opportunity to do so. But you don't violate anyone's trust. There needs to be a foundation of earning trust, of earning the fact that you're not going to go and you're not going to slander this person. You're not going to take their words out of context. You're not going to think of them differently. No, we're all in this together. We've all done terrible things. So we all are going to trust each other to be respectful, to be in the battle with us, and to not share anything outside of this accountability group. Now, the next thing is, we've already talked about it, being ruthlessly transparent. This is the reason I bring it up again is because I want to talk about a different aspect of it. Yes, say everything that you've done wrong in the past, everything that's going wrong right now. Yes, bring it all to the table, but also the little things. Being ruthlessly transparent is talking about things that you haven't really turned into sin yet. You're like, oh, it's probably not going to be a problem. No. You bring it all to the table. Even if something is just a little bit, you make one little slip up, like what I did last night when I watched that YouTube video that I probably shouldn't have watched. I need to confess that. I need to bring that up and say, hey, look, I did this thing, okay? And I need you to pray for me in this area. And I need you to know that this is the step that I'm on so that other people can realize, oh, shoot, this guy's starting to slip right here. Honestly, that's what was happening. And so that they can pay attention to my next check-ins, to my next things that I bring up to them, the next honest conversation that I have with them, because then they can see other warning signs, right? We're in this together and we need to be able to take an honest look at each person's life, and we need all the facts to do that. So be ruthlessly transparent in even the little things. And the last thing is, this is at all times. I check in every single day. Now, recently I've been really bad at it, and I need to get back onto that train of checking in every single day, but it's important that you do it every single day. And some days it needs to be multiple times a day. After I've failed, I start doing it multiple times a day. Every 12 hours I check in. And honestly, if it's right before a big failure, that's what I need to do. I need to check in 12 hours a day, or maybe every 12 hours a day, or maybe every 8 hours, or maybe every 4 hours, or maybe every hour. That's okay. Look, you are never bothering someone. One of the second rule of an accountability group is no one is ever a bother for any reason, period. Okay, we are being 100% honest with each other. And some people struggle with things in a way that it might come up more frequently for them than for other people. That's not a problem. Never, ever, ever shame someone for that. Never, ever, ever say, hey, I'm busy right now. No, I can't help you with this. No, this battle is your number one priority. So we put it all on the table and we sacrifice for each other. You are never bothering someone by sending them a text. You're never bothering someone by giving them a call. You are never bothering someone for confessing what you're struggling with. No matter how small, no matter how much you think it's not a big deal, always, always, always lean towards the side of confessing. Always, always, always lean toward the side of accountability and bringing it up and fighting with this person. Now, the next thing that I want to bring up is accountability is not convenient. It's not something that's easy. Accountability sucks. It is hard because it is honest, hard work. It is putting your head down when you really don't want to and confessing things that you don't want to confess to. It is taking honest self-assessments and then confessing those self-assessments. It is reading through the check-ins of however many accountability brothers you have. It is spending the time to put your phone down and pray for them. It is spending time to think through, okay, what have I seen from them recently? What am I worried about for them too, along with myself? How can I fight with this person? It is hard work, but it is incredibly worth it. Because when you're fighting like this, when you're in the battle, well, the harder you fight, the more success you're going to have. And this is the sort of thing that makes you fight hard. So no, it's not convenient. No, it's not easy. But yes, it is incredibly worth it. So this brings me to my last thing. Accountability, like I said, is a daily thing. And checking in is a huge part of that. This is how I practically do accountability in my life. Every single night, before I go to bed, I pull my phone out and I answer 6 questions. It used to be 4, now it's 6. You can do the 4 version if you want. It's just the first 4 of the 6. But I think the 6 version is even more powerful. I went away from it because I got lazy, and that was an excuse, honestly. Because when I did all 6, it had an incredible impact on me. And being able to read that from my brothers, it had an incredible impact on them and our battle together. So here are the 6. First question, how are you feeling today? That's the first one. We don't dive into anything except how we're feeling. What were the things that went through your mind today? What were the things that went through your heart today? What were the stuff that you struggled with? What was the stuff that was weighing on you? What is the general feeling of the day? This is just a free spot to just kind of get out anything that's weighing on you. Maybe it doesn't have to do with lust. Maybe it has to do with something else. Get it out into the open, because we all know that little things can plant seeds. Little things that don't seem like they have anything to do with lust, they can plant seeds. And so confessing that and bringing that forward and letting your brothers know about that is going to help them to see those patterns and see if seeds are being planted so they can speak truth to you on that. So the first one is just, how are you feeling today? And the second one is, what went wrong today? This is your chance to confess. Get out everything that you did wrong today. It doesn't matter if your check-in is, you know, a couple sentences for each question, maybe a sentence for each question, or if it's a novel for each question. Whatever you need that day, that is what you need to do. You need to put it all on the table, say, here's what I did wrong today. If you had a tough day, okay, good. This is your chance to, honestly, this helps you to do some self-reflection when you're typing this out, because you have to think back, okay, what did I do wrong today? Genuinely ask yourself that and then confess it all. Put it all on the table and say, this is what I did wrong. These are the mistakes that I made today. These are the things that happened today that were bad, that I know lead me towards temptation. And then the third question is, what went right today? Okay, how did you respond to that? What were the things that you did to not fall into lust today? What were the things that you did well? What were the things that were on your mind that you were fixing your mind on that helped you to get back on the right path if you got on the bad one? Or what were the things that you were doing that didn't let lust get a foothold at all during the day? This is your chance to kind of pat yourself on the back a little bit and recognize the good things you are doing. You need that positive reinforcement to say, oh man, I did do this well today. Man, I did do that well today. That was good. I want to do that again because I saw the fruits of that. That kept me away from lust. I can't tell you how many times I've been doing my check-in and I'll write something for question number 3. I'll say, okay, what did I do right today? I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I played basketball today for like 2 hours. That was awesome. That's not something that I do on a normal day, but man, those whole 2 hours, I didn't have a single temptation. Like, that was awesome. That was a great thing to do. Or I'll be like, you know what? This morning I woke up and I was just like, I need to pop some music, worship music on. And so before I ever got out of bed, I just turned on worship music and it was on the whole morning. So whereas my thoughts could maybe run awry at any moment and temptation could creep in, it was much harder for that to happen because worship music was just on. That was a good thing that I did today. I should probably do that again tomorrow. It's really helpful to see those things and to recognize, oh man, yeah, this was really helpful to me. That clearly led me away from lust and towards Jesus. So that's your chance. And question 3 is to confess all that too. It's good to celebrate with one another. And when someone checks in and they had a good day and that question 3 is like full of good stuff, celebrate that. Like, good work, bro. That's awesome. That is huge victory. Maybe I can learn from that too. But then question 4 is, what am I worried about for tomorrow? What triggers am I aware of that may come up tomorrow that I need to be careful of? Maybe not even tomorrow, maybe the next week or so. What are the things that I'm scared of? What are the things that I know could lead me in a bad direction? Now, this is usually the most helpful one, because most of the time when I do this honestly and I say, okay, what am I worried about? Well, I'm going into the weekend. I don't have any plans this weekend, so I'm going to have a lot of free time. Well, free time means boredom, and boredom usually means failure. That usually means lust or temptation. But when I'm aware of that, then I can start planning my weekend. Then I'm like, okay, well, how do I not have to worry about that? Well, okay, I should probably start making plans. I should probably start reaching out to people like, hey, what are you doing today? Hey, what are you doing this week? Hey, can we do this, 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 this? Maybe I'm going on a hike. Maybe I can go to the store. Maybe I can come up with anything to be out of the house. It's really helpful to be thinking about that beforehand. So nothing, rarely, this is the important part, rarely does the temptation that I'm worried about that I put in my question number 4, rarely does that come to fruition because I'm aware of it, because I'm saying, oh man, that could be a problem. That is for sure the biggest obstacle that I have tomorrow or this weekend or the next week, but I'm aware of it. So I counter it beforehand. I'm proactive about it. I'm not reacting to it as it comes. Usually the temptation that comes, the stuff that I didn't see, it's the stuff that I wasn't aware of, the stuff that I didn't put in my question number 4, and the stuff that hit me like a freight train and I was like reacting to it. So it's super helpful to be like, okay, what am I worried about? What are the things that could lead me to lust? What are the things that are going to tempt me over the next day or 2 days or 3 days or week? And when I do that, then I can start making an action plan. And then my other brothers, my accountability brothers, can encourage me in an action plan. You know, if I check in and I say, hey, I'm really worried about loneliness this weekend, they'd be like, hey man, you should reach out to one of your buddies that lives close by and just go do something, anything. And that's encouraging. That's a little kick in the pants. Like, okay, yeah, maybe I should get out and do that. Maybe that is a helpful thing for me to do. That's question number four. Question number five is, what does God's word say? Usually this is in relation to number two, question number two, what are the things that went wrong today? But just in general, it's so important. What we're going to talk about over the next long while, it's the most important thing that you can do, is using this, using God's word, using God's truth to counter the lies in your life. We've already talked about it a little bit, but it's hands down the most important thing that you can do. That is how you fight by God's power, is using his word as a sword, is using his word to fight back against the lies. And so that's what we do here, is we pick a verse every single day. You don't have to memorize it, but I highly encourage you to at least try and memorize the verse that you use for this. But it's like your verse for the day. This is like the thing that got you through. Feel free to reuse. That's perfectly fine. But having this in the check-in, this is something that wasn't originally in my check-in, and one of my accountability brothers really encouraged me to put it in my check-in, is it's super helpful to just remind myself of the truth. One of the last things every night is I check in, and having one of the last parts of my check-in being reminding myself of God's word, of God's truth, is encouraging to me. And it helps me to remember to believe the truth and not the lies. So always put in a verse. Maybe it's a long verse. I have one friend who, man, this dude is awesome. Just a full-hearted follower of Jesus. But this dude's check-in will be a great check-in. You know, he'll be honest in all of it. And then he'll get to the verse. And sometimes he'll put in like a whole chapter. It'll be like a whole chunk of scripture. And I love it. It's awesome. Because he's thinking about it. He's dwelling on God's word, which is what we're instructed to do. And I can tell that he's replacing all those lies that he believed in question number two and in the things that went wrong today. He's replacing all that with God's truth. And I've seen the fruit in his life. And it's incredible. So that's number five, is what does God's word say about it? And then the last one is prayer requests. Look, this brings us to our fourth verse of why accountability is important. And it's James 5:6. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Look, we're called to pray for each other. A huge part of having accountability, brother, of having someone in the fight with you, is someone who is a prayer warrior for you, is someone who is praying for you intimately because they know what you're dealing with every single day. They know what you're dealing with today, what you dealt with yesterday, what you dealt with for your entire life, and they can pray for you powerfully and earnestly, and they can be that righteous person whose prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. We're called to pray for each other. And so that's the last one, is just call it out. Obviously, you should be praying for whatever's in their check and the things that people are not aware of. When someone checks in for me, I look through and I'm like, okay, how can I pray for this person? How can I honestly go to God and say, God, here's what this person needs based off of what I know about them. Maybe they're not realizing this right now, but please reveal this part to them and just help them in this way. I can be honest in my prayer to God for them. I can be a prayer warrior for them. And I know that my brother's doing the same thing, but it's so much easier when you can just lay it out for them and say, here's what I need today. Here are the things that maybe I didn't put in my check-in. Maybe I didn't think it was relevant or whatever. Maybe it's just other things in life. Can you just be praying for me on this? You know, like for me, when I first moved to where I am now, I said, hey, I'm worried about this mood. I'm scared. I'm not going to be able to make friends. I'm scared for all these reasons. Can you pray for me on that? And you know, we were months out from this. And yes, they prayed for me on that. It was awesome. Or maybe it's like, you know, I've got this meeting, this really big meeting that I'm leading tomorrow that I'm worried about. It's stressing me out a little bit. Can you pray for me on that? And so it doesn't just have to be about lust. It can be about life. Because at the end of the day, your accountability partner is a life partner, is someone who is walking through life with you. Because lust isn't just one little part of our life right now. No, lust permeates everything. It is a part of our entire lives. It's sticky little fingers are freaking everywhere, and it's the worst. But that's the reality, is we need to be walking through life with each other. And I think it's funny. This is how I want to end, is the word paraclete, right? Is the word that we're using for each other, where we can fight back to back with each other, happens to be the word that the Bible uses in ancient Greek for the Holy Spirit. Look, part of our battle, part of our accountability, part of our honesty in having brothers in arms is also with God. It's not just with other brothers. Yes, everything we talked about today was about other brothers and praying for them and fighting with them and getting in the mud and how we can do that and why it's important. All those things are great. But there's another aspect to this, and we'll get into this in another video. But the Holy Spirit is who is with us 24/7, right? You can be with your brother as much as they will let you be with them. Your brother can be with you in this battle as much as you will let them. I encourage you to let them as much as humanly possible. At the end of the day, we all have our own lives, right? But the Holy Spirit is with you 24/7. And if you can walk in stride with him, well, then he is your paraclete. And there's no one more powerful than the Holy Spirit. But we'll get into all that later. The last thing I want to say is accountability is so important. You need this. Do not convince yourself of anything different. You need accountability. You need brothers in arms, and you need them today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not after your next failure, today. You need it now. Matter of fact, you needed it yesterday. But yesterday's gone. It's today now. So go and find it. If you don't have it, or if you only have one or two, go and find others. Find brothers that you can fight this with. Find people that you can be a positive influence in their lives and that they can be a positive influence in yours. Be the catalyst and start striving for victory together, because we are in this together. Brother, I'm here with you as well. Let me be part of your paraclete as well. We're fighting this all as one army. So let's stop convincing ourselves that we're alone and let's start fighting together. So go do that. Go find someone and start fighting together. Hey bro, thank you so much for listening. And for more information on your battle with lust, please go to pursuegod.org/fightclub. And most importantly, join in on the movement by starting your own fight club today.